Absolutely thrilled to have some very special guests with us today. My pastor, Pastor Doug and Sister Vicki Davis, whom we love around here. Amen. These are wonderful folks. And they don't always get to be with us in person, but you are always here in our hearts. And there are some things that God has done here at Heaven View that I've been privileged to be a part of. I feel like serving you and serving this community has been the highest honor. But any good that comes out of our service, it goes back to this couple right here. They have tried to teach us this word of God, and they live it in a way that is profound. I don't know what he's got for us today, but it's going to help us live for Jesus. So why don't we stand? Welcome Pastor Davis as he comes. We love you. We're honored you're here.
Let's give that praise to the Lord. He deserves it. Hallelujah, Jesus, we praise you today. We magnify your name, for it is the name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name in which all power of heaven is invested. We give you glory today. We praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, good morning, Heaven View. Good to see all of you. You may be seated. It's such a delight and a privilege to be here today and to be with people that I love, some that I know well, some that I don't know so well, but that doesn't matter. We're all the children of the Most High God, and we're all family. So if you know me, then I'm family to you, but if you don't know me, I'm still family because we got to go to heaven together. And so we're family. Isn't it great to be a part of this wonderful family of God? There's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing like the family of God. And I'm so delighted to be here today. We're excited for you and excited with what God is doing with this beautiful church. And so thankful for Pastor Linder, his family, and the leadership ministry of this church and what God is doing. Some of you are well aware of the fact that one of my major creeds in life is the best is yet to come. And I truly believe that for Heaven View United Pentecostal Church, the best is yet to come. I believe that the city of Winston-Salem has not yet begun to feel the impact that this church is going to have upon this community before Jesus Christ comes. And I know that this is Sunday school, so I'm going to get right into the Bible lesson. And you know what it means when the preacher takes off his watch. Absolutely nothing. But I know we're on a time schedule here today, and this is a special day. Today's a day that Heaven View has dedicated to global missions and your impact not only in this city and in this state, but around the world, and what God wants to do with this great church and this great people through his power. So if you will, go with me to the book of Genesis chapter 12. We're going to read a couple of verses there. I'm wondering this morning if there are any blessed people in the house. That didn't sound real convincing. Do I have any blessed people in the house? You've got the Holy Ghost. You've got a family. The Lord gave you a place to live. He gave you food to eat. He gave you clothes on the back. He gave you a pastor to lead you into his kingdom. He gave you a church. You say, well, Brother Davis, I work for my living. Yeah, the Lord gave you that capacity to work. He gave you that brain. He gave you that body, that strength to work. I'm talking to a bunch of blessed people here this morning. The most blessed people in the city of Winston-Salem. That was convincing, by the way. That was convincing. I believe that you believe that you're blessed. Truly, God's people. There's nothing like being blessed of the Lord. We may not be the richest in monetary figures, but in the blessings that really count and really matter. How can you put a price tag on health? How can you put a price tag on salvation? How can you put a price tag on joy? How can you put a price tag on watching your children live for Jesus Christ? You can't put a price tag on that. There's not enough money in all the banks in the world to pay for those blessings that God has given to you. I'm talking to a bunch of blessed people today. Genesis chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house and unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee. Everybody say that with me. I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Say those words with me. Thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. I want to speak for just a few moments here in this class today on the subject, the purpose of the blessing. The purpose of the blessing. In God's magnificent call to Abraham here in this 12th chapter of Genesis, God proposes a covenant with Abraham. And it's important for us to understand that all of God's callings, all of his anointings, all of his assignments are covenantal promises with him. They are covenantal in nature. In other words, when God calls a man or a woman to do anything, he always gives a promise with that calling. It's a two-way street. His calling says, if you will, I will. It's a covenant. Or if you will, it's a contract with God. Abraham's part in this great covenant was to leave his country, to leave his father's house, to leave his possessions, to leave his career, to leave the family that he knew, and to journey into a land that God would lead him to. That was Abram's part in the covenant. God's part of the covenant was, if you will do this, Abraham, I will bless you. Those were the two fundamental parts of this covenantal agreement between Abram and God. But there is sometimes an overlooked portion or an overlooked element of this covenant. For in this covenant relationship and this covenant promise that God established with Abram, God said to Abram, I will bless you and you shall be a blessing. God ends this covenantal promise by stating, in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God gives Abram an amazing promise. Abram, if you will follow me and do what I ask you to do in this covenant, all the families of the earth for generations to come will be blessed. And we know by the revelation of the word of God that this amazing promise was ultimately fulfilled through the coming of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, through Abraham. And through Abraham, we have been blessed today, even in this generation. Our salvation is in part due to the father of the faithful, Abram. But I don't have time to go into it today because our time is limited. But let me just tell you something. God's promises to Abraham are still in effect. Okay, now let's understand something. The law of Moses has been fulfilled. The law of Moses is complete. Okay, that's done. That covenant is complete. But the law of Abraham, or the covenant of Abraham, is still open. Everything God promised to Abraham is still going to happen. And let me tell you something else. Who are the children of Abraham? We who are the children of faith, we are the children of Abraham. So the promises God gave to Abraham are still going to come to us in the future. So even though we have been blessed by this covenantal relationship that Abraham had with God through salvation, there are also blessings to come in our future, in the millennium and in eternity to come, that will come to us through our father Abraham. So Abraham was an example of this covenantal relationship that God has with his people. He told Abram, I am going to bless you and you shall be a blessing. The definition of blessing is to enrich someone, to add value to someone, to benefit someone, a favor or a gift bestowed. Blessings can be economic, physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, relational through our families and our friends. A blessing is something that increases our joy or benefits our welfare. We might define blessings today as a raise at work. We might define a blessing as a new car, a new home, a vacation, our fabulous good looks, our amazing talent and ability. We might count those as blessings, but God does not always define blessings as we define blessings. Long ago in a tribal village, there lived a man who owned a magnificent horse. The horse was so beautiful that people came from miles around to view this beautiful horse and admire it. And they told him he was blessed to own such a beautiful horse. Perhaps, said the man, but what seems to be a blessing may be a curse. One day the horse ran away. His friends came to him and said, oh, how sorry we are your horse ran away. Truly you must be cursed. He said, perhaps, but what seems like a curse may be a blessing. A few weeks later, the horse returned. However, the horse did not return alone. This time, the horse returned with 21 beautiful horses with it. And by the law of the land, these horses now belonged to this man. Now the village was amazed. They ran to this man and said, truly, you are a blessed man. You have been so blessed. He said, perhaps, but what seems like a blessing may be a curse. Shortly after that, his only son was out trying to ride and break one of the new horses and fell from the horse and broke his leg. And now the townspeople came and said, truly, you are a cursed man. How sad it is that your son, your only son, has fallen and broken his leg. The man said, perhaps, but what seems to be a curse may be a blessing. A few weeks later, the king of the land came through and he drafted all the able-bodied men for war against his enemies from the north. And all the young men that had been drafted from that village died in the war. And only the man's son survived because of his broken leg. To this day in that village, it is a tradition to say, what seems like a blessing may be a curse, and what seems like a curse may be a blessing. I think I probably have some witnesses in the house this morning that there's some people here that you thought it was a curse, but it turned out to be a blessing. And all likewise, you thought it was a blessing and it turned out to be a curse. We need to let God choose our blessings. We need to let God, he knows the end from the beginning. He knows what is best for us. And so we serve a blessing God. Aren't you glad we serve a blessing God? I'm trying to hurry here this morning, but you know, we don't think of this too often. But do you realize that we could serve an evil God? What if we served an evil God? We would have no choice. God's God. He's sovereign. He doesn't ask permission. He doesn't need permission. What if we served an evil God who enjoyed inflicting suffering upon his subjects? What if God enjoyed our suffering? There would be nothing we could do about it. Is there anybody today happy that we serve a gracious God? We serve a God that does good things for his children. He blesses us above what we deserve. We deserve damnation, but he gave us salvation. We deserve punishment, but he gave us mercy. We serve a blessing God. Our God is a blessing God, and he wants to bless his people. He wants to use us, also to bless others. Mankind failed God in the Garden of Eden, and God's righteousness demanded punishment. But look at this. Even though God is just, and his word and his law demanded that a payment be made for the failure that occurred in the Garden of Eden, even though he administered punishment, in the midst of the punishment, he administered a blessing. It should have been over then and there when Eve and Adam ate of the fruit in the garden. It should have been over. They should have died that very day. Mankind should have been eradicated from the face of the earth. It should have all been over and done. But God, in his graciousness, and because we serve a blessing God, not a cursing God, he issues a blessing in the midst of the curse. He says in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." It wasn't completely over that day when God sent an angel to drive Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden. In the middle of the curse, God gives a blessing. The world today continues in sin. And if ever there was a generation that deserves punishment, it is our generation. I don't know what things are like in North Carolina, but I can tell you it ain't so good in New York. And I just got a feeling, although some people think this is Canaan land, I just have a feeling things aren't perfect in North Carolina. I have a feeling there's trouble in North Carolina. I have a feeling there's troubles and problems and issues and obstacles and hardships and things that you have to overcome and things you have to deal with. And we're seeing our generation and our world and sadly our own country spiral down in a terrible spiral of wickedness and godlessness. And if ever there was a time when God had a right to curse the world, it is now. But even though the world continues in sin, even now God continues to send blessings. John 3:17, "For God sent his Son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering toward us, not willing or desirous that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Every sinner on the face of the earth deserves to be eradicated right now. But this blessing God extends mercy and love and blessing to every person today who will receive it. Of course, the day will come when God's mercy and long suffering will come to an end. And then he will meet judgment according to his perfect sense of justice. But even then, God does not rejoice over the punishment of the wicked. He said in Ezekiel 33:11, "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. My pleasure is that the wicked should turn from his way and live." That's the kind of God we serve. God blesses us in so many ways. He blesses us spiritually. I don't think we can truly understand how wonderful it is to lay your head on your pillow at night and sleep the sleep of the righteous. Peace that passes understanding. Oh, well, Pastor Davis, you must not have the problems I have. No, I don't have your problems. I got my problems. You keep yours. I'll keep mine. All right. But if I were to list my problems to you, some of you would be amazed. Oh, you pastors, you have no problems. You have no issues. There's a whole lot that you don't see in the lives of other people. I'm not talking about sin and wickedness. I'm talking about struggles and battles that people have to fight and hardships and burdens they have to carry and bear. And I've got stuff in my life. Anybody got stuff? I'll just tell you, I take a handful of pills every morning, a handful of pills every night. I've had open heart surgery. I've been in and out of the angioplasty surgery room so many times. They told me last time I was a frequent flyer and they were giving me frequent flyer miles. 9 stents in addition. 7 of those stents after open heart surgery. No, I don't got problems. Okay, I don't got problems. But you know what? At night, I lay my head on my pillow and I sleep like a baby. My wife gets mad at me because she said I'm asleep before my head hits the pillow. She said, I'm talking to you and he's over there snoring. You know why? Not because I've got it all figured out. You know, not because I know that God has given me some promise I'm going to live to 104. God's not done that. All I know is that God's got it in control. God loves me. I'm in his hands. The devil can't kill me as long as God wants me alive. And the minute God wants to take me, he's going to take me. There's not a thing I can do about it. I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to rejoice, for this is the day that the Lord has made. I've got something to do today. I put it in the hands of my Savior and I leave it there. You cannot put a price tag on those kinds of blessings. God blesses us materially. You know, I'm going to tell you, I've been a pastor since 1982 or 3. And I'll tell you this, I've never seen people come to the Lord and go to worse circumstances permanently. Now, I've seen people come to the Lord, maybe lose a job, lose a situation, go through some readjustments in their life. But if they continue to walk with God, God lifts them up to a higher place than they ever were before. That's the kind of God we serve. He doesn't give us everything we want because everything we want would be detrimental to us. It would be harmful to us, dangerous to us. But he gives us exactly what we need. We are not lacking one thing that we need because he supplies all of our needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. We have it. God promises that if we will bless him, he will continue to bless us. Can I get a witness? Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to contain it. This is a covenantal promise from God. If we will, God will. Can someone say amen to the word of God? God promises that if we are faithful with our giving to the kingdom of God, and I'm going to say it out loud, if we are faithful in our tithing, you bind God to a covenant. Understand this. You bind God to a covenant when you tithe. Because God said, try me. Prove me. You tithe. Bring the tenth into the storehouse and I will open the windows of heaven. You do your part. I will do my part. Hallelujah. Tithing was the practice of God's people 500 years before Moses ever drew his first breath. Abraham tithed before the law of Moses was ever written. Tithing did not begin with the law of Moses. Tithing did not end with the law of Moses. And anyone who decides that they're not going to pay tithes needs to remember 2 things. If you fail to pay tithes, you eliminate yourself from the covenant of God. Number 2, if you fail to tithe, you place yourself in jeopardy of being guilty of robbing God and being placed in the company of thieves and robbers. That's scary stuff. I don't know about you, but I'm not taking no chances. Is there anybody here who wants God to open the windows of heaven on your life? God says, if you will, I will. If you will, I will. Bring into the storehouse. Hallelujah. I don't know where that really came from. The only way for God to open the windows of heaven in my life is for me to open up my hand unto God. Because the principle is this: I have been blessed to be a blessing. You have been blessed to be a blessing. Already in my life, spiritually, emotionally, financially, in relationship with family, in relationship with friends, in relationship with my church family, God has already blessed me more than I can ever repay him in my entire lifetime. There's no way that I can bless God enough for what he has blessed me with. God is a blesser, and he wants his children to be blessers. We are to be like our heavenly Father. To be like him means there must be a spirit of generosity and a spirit of giving that comes upon us. Yes, look at Abraham. God blessed him mightily, but Abraham blessed Isaac, and Isaac blessed Jacob, and Jacob blessed his sons, and the sons of Jacob have blessed the entire world. You know, it amazes me that we can bless God. You see, how can we enrich God in any way? He is already rich beyond measure. How could I give God anything that he doesn't already have? How could I give God anything that he does not already possess? How could we give him anything that could possibly benefit him in any way? Because to be a blesser and to bless someone is to say that the blesser is always greater than the one being blessed in the natural sense. The scripture says that. The blesser is the greater of the one being blessed. We can never bless God in the same sense that he blesses us. It's absolutely impossible. If you sold every possession you had and brought it here to church today and gave it to the church for the cause of world missions, you would still owe God more than you could ever pay him. But here's what's so beautiful and so amazing. The scripture commands us to bless the Lord. Did anybody come here today to bless the Lord? Are you a blesser of the Lord? He's a blesser to you. Are you a blesser to him? That's why I tell our people, come to church on time, please. Because at the beginning of service, we enter his presence with thanksgiving, and we come into his courts with praise. We are thankful unto him, and we bless his name. I get tired of seeing people in church who sit there and say, when God blesses me, I might raise a hand. When I feel, you know, if that preacher will preach just a little better, if that choir will sing that chorus one more time, maybe I'll raise my hand and worship. You know what? If there's nobody up here, if the instruments are turned off, when I walk in that door, I need to have something with me. I need to have brought my sacrifice of praise. I need to bring a blessing into the house of the Lord, because I have been blessed to be a blessing. Somebody bless him right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. How is God blessed by this? How is God blessed by that? No. It seems so pitiful and so little and insignificant compared to what he has done for me. Seems like, have you ever been praising the Lord and just the words weren't there? It's like, God, I don't have the right words. There's no way. They haven't invented a word yet that it explains what I'm feeling. I want to say something, God, but the best thing I can say is hallelujah. And I just, how is, but you know what? He loves it so much. He loves it so much that he dwells in the midst of the praises of his people. When you begin to bless God, when you begin to bless his name, when you begin to be a blesser, when you begin to turn around all the blessings God has given to you and begin to give the blessings back to God, he dwells in the midst of those who bless him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Because we have been blessed to be a blessing. God said, I woke you up this morning. If I hadn't leaned over you this morning and breathed the breath of life into you and told your heart to beat, you wouldn't have gotten out of bed. But God leaned over each one of us this morning and said, live, live. I give you this day as a gift to serve me and to serve others. Hallelujah. What a blessing it is to have the privilege of being a blesser. Being a blesser. And not only do we give him blessing and bless him with our praises, we are to bless him by giving our time, our energy, and our resources to the kingdom of God. When we give to the work of God, our gift has double worth. It blesses men who are blessed by the work that our giving can provide, and it blesses God. Let me just bring it down to a missions basis. When we bless God by giving to his kingdom, we bless the missionaries, we bless the ones the missionaries are ministering to, and we bless God by advancing his kingdom. Matthew 6, 19 through 21, Jesus said, he gives us some financial advice here. Jesus, the financial advisor. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And then he wraps it up with this, for where your treasure is. What kind of treasure is he speaking of here? What has he just been talking about? What? He's been talking about financial and material things. He says, for wherever your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus tells us in these verses that we will reveal where our heart is by where we place our treasures. We will reveal where our heart is by where we place our treasures. If our heart is in houses and properties and personal wealth, then that's where we will invest our resources and our money. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a house. God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful house. But that's not what it's all about. And let me just say this. A bigger house ain't going to make you happy. It's more to clean, more to pay for, more to maintain. Really, it's true. Anything that you have you, if you've lived long as I have, you find out that the things that you have a tendency to start possessing you. And after a while, that's why at a certain stage of life, we start pushing things off. We start getting rid of things. Why? Because, not because we don't like them anymore, because things are trouble. Cars you got to maintain. And a house is a good thing. You got to have a house, but how many rooms can you live in at one time? Clothes are nice, but how many suits can you wear at one time, you know? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And where your heart is, your treasure will be as well. Because our treasure follows our heart, and our heart follows our treasure. The blessings that God has given to us come with a divine responsibility. We are blessed to be a blessing to God and to be a blessing to others. During World War II, an American soldier in England was walking back to his barracks in London on early morning. He saw a little boy, ragged, poor clothes, tattered shoes, with his nose pressed to the window of a bakery shop, staring at the bread and the pastries in silence. The American serviceman's heart went out to the little boy, who's probably an orphan of war. So he looked at the little boy and said, "Son, would you like some of those?" "Oh, yes, sir, I would." So the serviceman stepped inside and bought a dozen rolls and pastries, like we Americans do. We overdo it. But if the little boy couldn't eat all 12 at once, he could even over the next few days. He bought him a dozen rolls and pastries. He took the bag outside and gave it to the boy and said, "Here you go." And then he turned and began to walk away. But as he started to walk away, he felt a tug on his coat. And he turned around and looked into the face of the little boy. And the little boy looked up at him and in a quiet voice said, "Mister, are you God? Mister, are you God? We are never more like God than when we give. We are never more like the nature of God than we than when we step into the role of being a blesser. God so loved the world that he gave. May it be said of us, we so loved our God that we gave." Abraham was blessed by God, and he became a blesser who blessed all the world. And God has blessed each one of us here in this room today so mightily and so wonderfully. But it is not just for our benefit. He has blessed you so that you can be a blessing to others. A blessing to your family. Parents, bless your children. Bless your children. Pray over your children out loud and bless them. Affirm them in the spirit. Bless parents. Bless your parents. Bless those in your family. Lay your hands upon them and pray together with them and bless them in Jesus' name. Be a blessing in your neighborhood. Be a blessing at work. Be a blessing at school. Be a blessing at church. This is your house. It's your family home. Trash on the floor, pick it up. Don't wait till mama or papa says pick it up. I read a few weeks ago, the mom says, "I didn't ask who put it there. I said, put it away." Something needs done, do it. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it. Be a blessing in Winston-Salem. Bless this city. Bless this state. And bless this world. Jesus summed it up best in his words in Acts 20, verse 35. "It is more blessed to give than to receive." What's the purpose of the blessing? God has blessed you and God has blessed me that we can take care of ourselves, take care of our family, and be a blessing to God and a blessing to others. How many are blessed here today? How many want to be a blessing in the kingdom of God? Let's stand to our feet now and begin to worship the Lord. He deserves our praise. Let's commit ourselves to him this morning, this day, to be a blessing with all that we are, all that we have, all that we can do. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. I want to be like you, Jesus. I want to be a giver. I want to be a blesser. Help me, Lord God, to use that which you have so graciously given to me to bless your kingdom, to bless your people, to bless the people of this world, the people in my world, at school, at home, on the job, wherever I may be, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And let's give the Lord a hand clap praise for his blessings here this morning.